This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher and Mike Somich on VSiN, the sports betting network.
All right, Mike Somich, I'm Patrick Maher. This is Sharp Money, of course, Sunday nights, wherever you find your podcasts, and Thursday after the numbers have time to bake. A quick board run, Mike Somich of week three. I'll just say this before I get your opening thoughts, and we'll get straight to the board. The big topic this week, we'll get to our Thursday night game, of course, Miami at Buffalo at the end of the program. But the big point of contention this week is the quarterbacks. Cincinnati and Minnesota, new quarterbacks, of course. You're going to have the Jets with a new quarterback, potentially Mac Jones for San Francisco. We shall see, because Brock Purdy news. And then, of course, Washington, whether it's going to be Daniels or Mariota. But that's kind of the theme heading into week three, Mike Somich, the quarterbacks.
Yeah, the quarterbacks are the theme. But, Patrick, you're burying the lead here.
Oh, boy.
When are we going golfing? Because I'm owed a round of golf after that disaster Monday
you know,
night performance by the Raiders.
Yeah, here's one thing. Death taxes and Mike Somich reminding you that he won a bet. I'm still waiting for Somich to let me know he's lost one in the years that I've known him. Of course, we did have a head-to-head. Vegas, I was certainly on the wrong side on Monday night, and I'm going to have to go through the power rankings and figure out what to do with the Chargers. I'll say this. Congratulations. We will get the golf in. Forget the Chargers offense. The defense has been spectacular. Looked like there were 12 men on the field for the Chargers on Monday night.
Yeah, they look great. The zone defense that we saw Minter bring from college back to the Los Angeles Chargers really shut down any deep passes that that Geno Smith could try and get dialed up for that Raiders team, and we saw them really suffocate them. I think it's going to be very interesting this week when those Chargers take on the Denver Broncos. We'll get to that game a little bit later as we run the board, where Bo Nix is going to have to try to figure out how to teeter on the edge of being aggressive into that deep zone defense while also being productive and taking what's given to him underneath. That's going to be a fascinating storyline in that game, Patrick.
And Michael, you take a look, AFC West right now, the Chargers are going to be your favorites in division, as, of course, the Chiefs, have won it for 9 straight years. But right now the Chargers, $110. The Chiefs are your second betting favorite at 275. The Broncos at 310 and 19-1 on the Raiders. But the Chargers getting a lot of love in the market.
Yeah, they are. And I think rightfully so. I think this is a Chiefs team that ends up making the playoffs. But I'm not sure I want to bet them to come all the way back and win the division. The Chargers' schedule, rather easy the rest of the way from a game perspective. Tough travel. They've got a lot of long airline flights that they're going to be taking going back and forth to the East Coast. But the teams they're playing are like the Titans and the Giants and the Jaguars. Mm-hmm. Teams that you can beat. It's just whether or not that travel is going to build up to be too much for them to overcome.
All right, Somich, it's a simple formula. Sunday nights, sharp money into Thursday. Take a look at the number. We had some fun on Sunday with some of these numbers, and here's one to start. 451, the Colts are at Tennessee. The Colts almost akin to what we just talked about with the Chargers. Everybody's darling right now, 2-0, favorites in division. It was a 2.5-3 opener at Tennessee, and essentially everybody's up to 4. You're seeing a lot of 4.5, so the money coming in right now on the Colts.
Yeah, this is a game that's just been all Colts since the market even opened prior to this week. We saw last week the look-aheads at Colts minus 1.5, reopens at 3. Now we're out to 4.5. You know, it feels like this is running a little bit too far, Patrick. Like,
yeah.
I understand the Colts have not punted yet this year. The offense has been phenomenal, right? Number one offense in the NFL, or number two offense, just one tick behind the Buffalo Bills and EPA. All that being said, are we sure we've seen the best version of this Titans team so far? Week one, they have to go to Denver. Week two, the Los Angeles Rams pass rush comes to town. This is a lot easier spot for this Titans offense and for Cam Ward, who has had flashes against defenses that are much better than what he's facing today. I did not bet the side. I do have some props from this game, but it would be dog or pass here for me, Patrick.
You want to lay 2.5-3 with the Colts, I'm fine with it. I'm selling high on the Colts here. Pollard and the run game got going against a good Rams defense. I think Tennessee runs the football. You wouldn't be surprised or shocked if Cam Ward got his first win in the NFL at home in a spot like this. I will take Tennessee. I'll take the 4.5. You can find that FanDuel. You can find that DraftKings. Just as a note, Circa sitting four. They did open three. So everybody betting the Colts. 453, Atlanta. I think you would agree. Atlanta in that Sunday night game, there were seven field goals kicked in Minnesota, but they dominated that football game. We were on right after it and discussed it, Mike. They're at Carolina. You know, this number is up to 5.5. All right, so just taking a look at Circa. Circa opened 3-ish. Many opened 2.5. A lot of Atlanta love.
Yeah, 8 days ago, wrote an article for VSiN, said take Atlanta -1.5. That looks like a pretty good wager at this point, Patrick. So we're way ahead of the market on that one. But if you're just looking at the number right now, and you're seeing Atlanta laying it with Carolina, it's hard for me to get to 5.5. I understand 4, and the injuries on the Carolina offensive line keep me from coming back in the other direction. They lost their center. They lost their left tackle. They're both out for the year. It's already a Carolina offensive line where the pass rush has struggled. Interested a little bit in Pitts, interested a little bit in Bijan Robinson because of this Carolina defense that struggles up the spine, specifically against the run. But at 5.5, I mean, it's Atlanta or pass, but I'm not running to the window laying over the 4 points with this Atlanta team on the road.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. This Carolina run D, a good call by you, is horrific. Desperation spot, I can't be laying 5.5 on the road with Atlanta. I'll pass on that one. This one's interesting. 455 here on Sharp Money. Mike Somich, I'm Patrick Maher. Las Vegas is at Washington. So a little hedging going on, I believe. Daniels is kind of a dude, and his knee is day-to-day. They're going to talk more tomorrow about who it's going to be. But if you take a look in the spots that Mariota got in that Kingsbury offense last year, he was 33 of 41, 366, and 4 touchdowns. I'm not sure it takes a huge step back, though. Daniels, obviously a key. A 5.5 opener with Washington, Vegas, we discussed at the onset. Short week traveling to Washington. However, this has been bet down to 3.5 with the Commanders laying it and 44 on the total.
Yeah, there was a 3 that came up in a land far, far away yesterday. I did play a little bit of the Washington Commanders -3. If we get back to -3, I think this is very playable. This is an awful spot for the Las Vegas Raiders. It's called the Widowmaker. You've got Washington coming off of a Thursday night football game, and Vegas coming off of a late Monday night game and having to travel on the road. It's one of the worst spots you can get without a buy or international travel being involved. These tend to go over. These tend to favor the team that played on Thursday night. No surprise there. I don't mind laying the 3 with Mariota, which is kind of crazy to say because I know I'm getting a healthy version of him, and I know we're going to have at least decent quarterback play from him, much like the handicap last week where it was, hey, look, I don't mind laying 3 with Mac Jones. Because I think Mac Jones is going to be fine stepping in for Purdy in that case. I think Mariota is going to be fine stepping in here for Jaden Daniels. Now, you bet the 3 if you can find it out there. There's a juice 25 right now. I do like that because if you do end up with Daniels, this goes back to 4, 4.5, right? You're never getting that 3 price. If it goes to Mariota, you may get a 2.5. Either way, I like Washington in this spot. It's just how you want to decide to bet it because we're clearly seeing the books hedge in a middle ground right now, because this wouldn't be 3 with Mariota. This wouldn't
Correct.
Be 3 with Daniels. It would be like 1.5 with Mariota, and it would be 5.5 with Daniels. And so because of the hedge that we're seeing by the books, I'm willing to take some 3 because I like Washington either way, but you can kind of wait and see what number you can get. But I have a bet on Washington. I think Washington's the correct side here.
Yeah, you bought a good price at 3. Keep a look at the odds boards over at vsin.com because the juice is indicating you could see a 3 pop up. My assumption is that will be bought as soon as it does, but I'm seeing a bunch of 105s on the 3.5 heading down to 3. I think he nailed it with the short rest. I think it's a terrible spot for the Raiders. One thing that has been disproven by Scott Spritzer and many professional bettors, remember, the old adage of west to east playing early does not play into handicapping. Those teams do not struggle. However, it is a short rest spot for Vegas, so very important, which Mike pointed out. I like buying on the 3 with Washington. Mike Somich and his family, it's so cute, the fact that they're moving to Green Bay, Wisconsin from Santa Barbara. They love it. They're going to get a little lake and enjoy themselves because he is number one Packer fan. That is very clear. They call him Somich Lombardi, And 457 on the board is Green Bay at the Browns. Got to be careful, a little sneaky, obviously, with the Browns defense. And this is all the way up to 7.5 with your Packers, who I genuinely don't see a weakness right now with the team.
Look, man, I am fine for you to make fun of me for being on the
Not Packers. Making fun?
Because I drove the bandwagon out of Lambeau in June before anyone else liked the Packers. I drove that thing. It's in the VSiN. It's in the VSiN NFL guide. I picked them to make the Super Bowl before all these shenanigans happened with them getting Parsons and everybody else. And now they're just an even better football team. We haven't even seen Parsons play a full game yet, Patrick. That's the incredible part about this defense, is that we're going to get hopefully a full go from Micah Parsons this weekend. If that's the case, I mean, Joe Flacco may be able to move 20 feet total in a football game. Like, he is going to be a statue back there. And now you're going to have Gary and Parsons just trying to tee off on him. This might be too much. 7.5 might be too high. Like, and we talked about this, how we thought that this was – we opened at 8.5. There were some sevens in there, some 7.5s in the market. And we're like, yeah, like, this is a great teaser game. Bet it before it gets to 9. I still feel the same way. I don't want to lay over the touchdown with Green Bay. I am happy to tease Green Bay all day, every day at that 7.5 number. There's like 4 good teaser numbers that we can talk about as we go through the board. Green Bay Packers is the first one for me. So I'll tease the Green Bay Packers. And I'm calling it now, Patrick. I'm calling Matthew Golden's shot. He is going to show out this game. We've seen him just 2 receptions, 16 yards through 2 weeks. He's going to be a part of this game plan for the Green Bay Packers. If you want to play Matthew Golden props, not out yet, I think he's a good person to look at.
Yeah, I think we talked about it on Sunday. Maybe the injury to Reed could be beneficial working in the rookie for Green Bay, who hasn't had the targets. Totally agree there. Let's hold on to this with a teaser leg. Totally agree. I mean, first off, I don't know what Flacco's going to do against a defense that against the run is allowing 2.3 yards per carry. So if you can't run the ball and come off the run with Flacco, who is a Goff-like statue, taking shots, strays at Jared Goff, he's a statue. So Green Bay, obviously going to be a big survivor pick. There's about 4 games on the survivor map, including Thursday night. But let's save that for a teaser, that being Green Bay. 459, Cincinnati, Minnesota. So we go back to where we started here, Mr. Samich, and that is 2 new quarterbacks. Browning, look, he's been good in a fill-in role. 3 picks. Jacksonville, you might have to dock him. The backup comes in and throws 3 picks, and you lose the football game. I digress. Cincy with Browning, who 4-3 in his fill-in steads, 4 Burrow, 12 touchdowns, 7 interceptions, and 70% completion. He's very capable. I ask you this to start. O'Connell was about to yank J.J. McCarthy in that primetime game, and Jefferson came over and said, don't do it. You're going to kill the kid's confidence. The kid had no confidence in the game. We saw 1 quarter of J.J. McCarthy against Chicago, and we started building the statue. I think the Wentz piece here actually benefits Minnesota. You're seeing 2.5s. You're seeing mostly 3s. I would indicate the sharp book that is Circa is showing 2.5, and everybody else is showing 3 with Minnesota laying it.
Yeah, you know, like, can I put my tinfoil hat on here?
Yeah.
I think that J.J. McCarthy might be out with a bruised ego, not a twisted ankle. This is one of those spots where, like, look, that was an awful spot for him to play on Sunday night after having a baby on Thursday and playing on Monday Night Football the week prior to it. He just isn't processing quickly enough. You can see he's about a half second behind everything. That's why he's taking the sacks. That's why the ball is late. I think this is a good way to kind of take a breather, give him a couple weeks, and then bring him back when you feel like he's ready. It gives you. He just had the kid. Spend a little time at home. Put Carson Wentz out there. Now, I have no clue what to do with Carson Wentz. He, to me, is one of the big struggles in handicapping this game because I don't know if he's an upgrade or a downgrade over J.J. McCarthy. So I just kind of left it even because I'm not impressed with McCarthy. You mentioned it, 7 of 8 quarters. He's been awful. That other quarter, he was fine. But, like, what do you expect from Wentz stepping in? Now, Browning, we do know what to expect. We saw him start 7 games in 2023. He went 4-3. He can get the weapons involved. He's going to throw some picks. He's a gunslinger. It's fine. He's Joe Burrow light, really, right? And so you downgrade them 5 points, and you move along. I kind of agree with Circa here. I think Cincinnati's the play. I put some Cincinnati plus 3 in because I know what I'm getting. And on top of that, The Minnesota team is just banged up left, right, and center. Literally three of the five starting offensive linemen are hurt. You've got two offensive linemen who are also on the IR, a fourth offensive lineman who is questionable for this game. So your offensive line's an absolute mess. You've got two defensive players on the IR and six questionables, including two pieces of the safety, two linebackers. This is just such a banged up Vikings team that you kind of have to look past the quarterback on this handicap, and that leads you to the Cincinnati Bengals plus three.
Yeah, no Aaron Jones. I love Cincinnati in this spot catching three. Mike, and I'll say this. I dug through Cincinnati's schedule. There's a path to 11 wins. 2-0. There's a path to 11 wins, and we can go through it on Sunday night. We have a little more time to stretch out. I'm a busy man. There's a path to 11 wins, and this is a necessary win to get there at 2-0 to go to 3-0.
Do you know their updated win total, Patrick?
Well, I do know that they're make the playoffs no minus 195. So big-time favorite not to make the postseason starting 2-0.
7.5 was the updated win total with Burrow down.
Over.
7.5 wins. So I was going to say, if you think there's a path to 11, and they already have two banked, you can't take those wins away. Right? They only got to win six more games to get over 7.5. I think if you think there's a path to 11, that is a great bet for you. I think it's minus 150 right now over 7.5.
Mid-December, potential return for Burrow. That leaves them four games to play. Look at the final three opponents. Absolutely garbage. Three wins late. 7.5 is a gift. Good job by you, Mike Samich. 461 as we continue. The Rams are at Philly. It's a great game. We saw this in the postseason last year. Philly trounced everybody except Stafford in the snow, had a chance to win it with the Rams. This number, let me just give you Circa real quick to give an idea. Circa's sitting 3.5, and they open 4.5. There is some Rams love coming in here. I see a 3. Penny's 3, and most are 3.5, with the Philadelphia Eagles obviously laying it, hosting the Rams, Mike.
Yeah, we took the 4.5 when this opened on Sunday night, so both of us have that in the account. I it's funny. I don't think 3 is the right number. Like, if this gets to the Eagles minus 3, I may end up buying back a little bit of my position because I never thought we'd get to that point. I would love to see whose power ratings have the Eagles as just 1 point better than the Rams on a neutral, because if you do, you're wrong. Like, that's not correct. That is not how these two teams should be rated. And so it's hard for me to get to the 3 that we're starting to see pop up in the markets. That being said, like, I have downgraded the Eagles twice in 2 weeks. I have upgraded the Rams twice in 2 weeks. So if you've been more aggressive than me, maybe you can get close to this number. But I liked the 4.5. I would be Eagles at 3 if we ever get down to that point. And like you said, there is, you know, Penny has a 3 Eagles up, so it is there. I also kind of like the under here, Patrick. Like, the more I rewatch that Philadelphia-Kansas City game, Eagles might just be a dead under team. They're not stretching the field at all. You're running with Saquon. You're not getting these big burst runs. The reason that the Rams game in the playoffs went crazy, Saquon had two monster runs. He had four runs of 60-plus against this Rams team last year. They went out, addressed it with a new D-tackle, with a new linebacker. I think they're able to slow them down and make the Eagles go methodically down the field. If that's the case, I just don't see where the explosive comes on the Rams side. I do like Devontae Adams over 59.5 receiving yards for the second straight week. He's getting just as many targets as Nacua, and his number is 20 yards shorter than Nacua. So I'll keep playing Adams until there's an adjustment there. And, I like the under here, Patrick.
Yeah, we bought at 4.5. Good job on Sunday night. And, again, you see a 3 popping up, which is huge. I mean, that's 1.5 down to the key number with Philadelphia Lane. It's interesting what you said about the under. I do wonder, Philadelphia almost plays with their food where they're sandbagging and haven't opened up the offense. I think A.J. Brown has, what, 4, 5, 6 catches on the year. So you wonder if they're going to open up the offense. I do like a Rams situation here where I think you're downgrading the Eagles, not just because of offense, but they don't have the ancillary parts in the secondary. McVay is smart enough to attack that second corner. So the wide receiver props, whether it be Adams, as you mentioned, or Nacua, who's a superstar, I think the Rams are going to get something going on offense. I love the 4.5. I'll still take the 3.5 with the Rams. A big spot. Good game. 463, Pittsburgh at New England. Oh, my. Michael Cohen, who's producing his New England Patriots. I don't think they're a very good team. That was our reaction on Sunday. Dolphins, we'll get to. Patriots as well. Pittsburgh. It was 1.5 on Sunday, and it's 1.5 as we sit here, 44.5 on the total.
This game's kind of a mess, isn't it, Patrick? Like, name one thing that Pittsburgh does well.
They allow explosive plays.
Yeah, see, that's not a positive. That's not a good thing. Do you rewatch Rodgers? He's mid. He's not good. This offensive line's not very good. DK Metcalf isn't getting down the field. It's these underneath routes. You need Yak to be able to move the football. You go back and you watch the Jets game against Pittsburgh week one. It was the Jets making mistakes, not Rodgers being awesome in that game. He really has one big-time throw through 2 weeks, so I don't love this Pittsburgh offense. But I flip to the other side. I don't think this Patriots defense is very good. You rewatch the Miami tape and you walk away and you're like, that was kind of brutal, man. Like, that was not good tape. And then you look at the New England offense. I do think they have success moving the football here against Pittsburgh. I just don't know what happens on the other side of the ball here. I haven't bet this game side or total or prop. This is one of the few that I passed on the full week. If you gave me 100 Patrick bucks, I'd be putting them on Pittsburgh minus the points, but I don't have any real confidence here.
Yeah, forget the side. The total of 44.5. These are two of the five worst teams allowing explosive plays, as you asked me. Passes of 20-plus yards, runs of 10-plus yards. Both Pittsburgh and New England are bottom five. I expect points in New England will go over the 44.5 there. 465, the Jets. So Fields, who we liked in week one, couldn't have performed worse. Here comes the 15-year vet and Tyrod Taylor in for the Jets. They're at Tampa. Interesting spot for Tampa, right, Mike? When we came here on Sunday night, Circa was 7. Circa's down to 6.5, and I'm seeing mostly 6.5s. You do see a 7 at DraftKings with Tampa Bay laying it and 43.5 on the total. So maybe a little love with the spot here for the Jets.
Yeah, it's just interesting because the Jets were the darlings in the market last week and then get blown out by Buffalo. And now here we are 1 week later, and it feels like they are the darlings in the market again. And I think of a lot of the reason that we're seeing the movement toward the Jets is not actually the Jets. I think it's the Tampa Bay Bucks and specifically the injury situation. Look, we know about Chris Godwin. We know about Wirfs. They're not expected to be here. But this was a bad week for Tampa Bay on the offensive line. Luke Getteke, he is doubtful for this weekend. Cody March is going to be out for the year with his injury that was announced, that happened in practice. So you now are down three offensive linemen. You also have Ibuka, who hurt his groin in practice. So now the game on Sunday. So now he may end up missing this weekend as well. We're down to a situation where Shepard might be your number two wide receiver. And that's, like, ridiculous considering this room started out with Evans, Godwin, Ibuka, and McMillan. And we might now have Shepard as your two. I'm waiting to see how low this goes. If I can get, like, a Tampa minus 4, if we get the amount of Jets money we saw last week against Buffalo, I probably get on Tampa late. I don't want any piece of the Jets under a touchdown. I don't really want a piece of Tampa at this price either, though.
Aaron Glenn is very close to losing. Not necessarily the team, but penalties, missed tackles. I think it's going to be a defensive focus. I think the two-back set there with Tampa, you're going to see a lot of them. There's a 44.5 over at FanDuel. I like the under here. Kind of a sleepy spot for Tampa coming back. And the Jets, I expect a defensive performance to Rod Taylor, of course, run the football with Breece Hall. The 44.5 over at FanDuel stands out to me because you see 43.5s as well.
Yeah. Real quick, two props that I like from here. So first off, give me Breece Hall under 60.5 rushing yards. I do think you're going to see Tyrod Taylor get some rushes. I think you're going to see Braydon Allen get some rushes. And this is the best rush defense in the NFL. And until further notice, I want to play running backs, especially ones that don't own a backfield, under against the Tampa Bay Bucks. We took it on Monday night, under 50.5. They let Nick Chubb get a 25-yard touchdown run at the end of that game, and he still didn't get over the total of 51.5. So, yeah, like the under on Breece Hall here. And if Ibuka does go, keep an eye on Michael Carter II, the number two cornerback for the Jets, who hurt or did not practice because of a groin injury on Wednesday. If he ends up not going and Ibuka does go, I think it's a big day for Ibuka because you're going to get a lot of man-to-man coverage, and they're not going to go at Sauce with Evans. So I think that means Ibuka, the number two, has a big day.
Yeah, 0-2 teams since the merger, 70, make the postseason about 10% a clip. This is a spot where Houston, obviously, we'll get to them in a second, the Jets. Tampa Bay right now is a team that's 2-0, but they are banged up. I like the under, and you mentioned it, Vita Vea might be a good run stopper. So I like the concept with the running backs. And I just mentioned Houston, who is 0-2, desperation heading to Jacksonville. Jacksonville's 1.5 mostly everywhere Where do we open on Sunday? I'll take a look at Circa. One, and they're still sitting one. 44 on the total with the Texans at the Jags.
Yeah, this ticked up to 2 at one point yesterday and for the majority of this morning. I'll take Houston. I took Houston plus the 2. I would take Houston plus the 1.5 if that's what's available in your books right now. I would take Houston money line if you want to. I would tease Houston up if you would like to. I have Houston as a point favorite in this game, so I think the wrong team is favored. Now, the difference between -1 and +1, not big. So not like it's a massive advantage that you have here. But let's just look at what Jacksonville has done in 2 weeks. They beat a Carolina team that was absolutely lifeless, and then they beat the Cincinnati Bengals in a game they probably should have won by 17, if we're being honest, where Joe Burrow gets hurt and they get 3 interceptions off the backup quarterback, yet they, A, cannot put the game away, and, B, end up losing it. Because they're the Jacksonville Jaguars. And I'm not saying, like, they're cursed organizations or anything like that. But look at what you get from this Jacksonville team consistently. It's drop passes. It's dumb penalties. It's T-Law just airmailing people in the red zone. There is no, it's not even a word, clutchness inside this team. They just wilt in the moment, and you see it consistently. Now, on the other side, the Texans have played 2 teams that are going to win their division, the Bucs and the Rams, mm-hmm. and they have lost on the final possession against both of those 2 teams. Look, Jacksonville doesn't win games on the final possession. They lose them. So I'm not worried about the final possession loss here for Houston, and they played a much more difficult schedule. They need this game more. I think Houston wins outright. I will take the +1.5. I will tease them up, and I will take the money line on Houston.
Best unit on the field easily is going to be that Houston defense. Desperation, 0-2. I'll take the 1.5. We talked about taking the 2 on Sunday night. I like Houston at Jacksonville. I think you laid it out perfectly. Jacksonville's not very good.
No.
469, Denver at the Chargers. Great game. The Chargers, 2.5. And if you've noticed movement, they did open 3 at Circa. They're down to 2.5 there. You know, you can find a 2.5 if you want to lay it with the Chargers. FanDuel showing it. You can find a 3 if you want to take with Denver, and 45.5 on the total.
Yeah, if you're out there in Vegas, best price South Point, 2.5 -110 on the Chargers. Sign me up for some more Chargers, Patrick. Come on, baby. The Los Angeles Chargers. They're going to get her done here. I laid the 2.5 with the Chargers. I love Herbert. I love what he is doing. Quentin Johnston is officially a thing. He's now got 10 touchdowns in the last 16 games. Keenan Allen is healthy, which means he matters right now. You've got, like, the funny part about this is Ladd McConkey's the wide receiver that's not producing. And coming into the season, he was supposed to be the one that was producing. Little concerned about the run game. But outside of that, this is a Chargers team that is offensively a truck right now, and Jesse Minter has that secondary playing as good as anybody. You flip over to the other side, Bo Nix is the second worst graded quarterback on PFF.com right now. He has played 3 good drives. Those are the first 3 drives against Indianapolis. The rest of the first game, as well as the rest of the second game, he was an absolute mess. I think the Chargers just confuse Bo Nix here. I don't think he has success down the field, which means that he has to take what they give them. I don't think Bo Nix is going to be able to dink and dunk and accept he's going to have to go 13 plays in 7 minutes to be able to go kick a field goal. I think this Chargers team wins another divisional game this weekend. I laid the 2.5.
If you can scoot over a little bit there with your Packer bandwagon, maybe I can hop on your Lightning Bolt bandwagon. I'm in. And I'll say this. We thought the Broncos defense was going to be potentially the best unit in football. I think the better defense is the Chargers this Ooh. Weekend, even without Khalil Mack. They have been
hot
spectacular.
Take.
And they're big. They're physical. Like I said, it looked like there was 12 dudes out there against Vegas. Minter is going to get a head coaching job. I think Omarion Hampton eventually starts running. If Quentin Johnson is what they drafted him to be, which is take the top off the defense. He's done it 2 weeks in a row. They can surprise you. Herbert throws one of the better deep balls, the 2.5. I'll take it with the Chargers. I'd like to introduce Seattle to the Green Bay Packers. Why? Here is your marriage for your 6-team tees. We've got Seattle laying 7.5 or 7. I'll go ahead and bring that down along with the Packers at Cleveland. New Orleans in town. Again, 7.5, 7. 7 at Circa, just to give you an idea. A sharp book, 7.5 pretty much everywhere else, and a low total 41.5.
Yeah, sign me up for a second leg of the teaser. Third leg, really, because I'm going to tease Houston up as well and round robin these puppies together, because I do think it's a great weekend to be teasing, because there's a couple favorites I really like, a couple dogs I really like. We'll get to one more a little bit later here. I think the Seahawks are going to absolutely destroy the New Orleans Saints this weekend. I understand the Saints have been plucky, okay?
They've been plucky.
They've been a plucky underdog. People talk about, hey, look at this, the Saints. They're cute. They're funky. They keep games close. That's cool. You face the Arizona Cardinals, who, honestly, after watching that Carolina Panther game, I have no clue how good the Arizona Cardinals are, but it's not very good, Patrick. And you face the San Francisco 49ers with their backup quarterback at home in the Superdome, where it's nice and quiet when you're on offense and it's nice and loud when you're on defense. How about we flip the script? You fly 3,000 miles to Seattle and go deal with their outdoor crowd. This is the first time they're on the road, the first time they're outdoors, the first time they're dealing with the crowd noise. And you're doing it against by far the best defense that you have faced so far, a top five defense in the NFL. I think Seattle absolutely runs New Orleans this weekend. I would lay the 7.5 is, I'd rather tease it. I would lay the 7. I also like Jaxon Smith-Njigba over his passing prop, 81.5 yards. He's a dude, man.
He is.
We need to give him some respect because Pittsburgh did everything to stop him, and he's like, hold my beer, I'm going to go put up a hundy.
Yeah, and Horton, the Colorado State kid, seems legit as well. By the way, Sharp Money, as you know, the pluckiest podcast in the game.
You like plucky. Come on.
I will say this. I think Seattle, because everybody's going to be running survivor-wise to use the Bills. You have plenty of opportunities to use the Bills. Keep that bullet in the chamber. I think Seattle. I love Seattle survivor this weekend.
Yeah, it's going to be every one of my entries. So this is, and it's projected to be, according to Pool Genius, really cool tool. If you haven't checked out Pool Genius team rankings, go check them out. You can actually upload your survivor entry, and they give you the optimal path to actually get through. They project 38% in Circus Survivor on Seattle. And you know what? I don't even mind taking Seattle knowing it's most likely going to be the number one pick. Because, for me, last week with the Baltimore side, people are like, well, I don't want to take Baltimore because I'm gaining something by not taking them. I'm able to use them in a future week. There's no future week to use Seattle. So in my mind, you're not really losing anything by using the Seahawks this week, whereas you were costing yourself something by using Baltimore last week. So I'm going to go ahead. I'm going to use the Seahawks and everything, even though it is most likely going to be the number one pick in Circus Survivor.
473, Dallas is at Chicago. I don't care about Dallas laying a point. You can find Chicago laying a point and a half. FanDuel has it. Circa, just to give you juxtaposition, does have Dallas laying the point. So pick them all the way through the zeros either side. I love, don't like, 50.5 over at FanDuel. Let's go over. Dallas made Wilson look like a modern-day Tom Brady. Specifically, if you're a defensive back, and we know they struggle, but how you let the receivers late get behind you, I think this is a big spot for Chicago offensively. And then defensively for Chicago, watched every snap of the 52-burger that the Lions dropped on Chicago. Could have been worse. It could have been worse. Dallas, we saw them in Philly. We saw them against the Giants. They have, if it comes down to 3-6 points, a secret weapon in Aubrey. I like the over 50.5 here with Dallas and Chicago.
Yeah, look, keep an eye on De'Bron Bland, cornerback for Dallas. We already know Diggs is out. He did not practice on Wednesday. He did not practice on Thursday. He did not play last Sunday. So definitely a concern there when your number one and two cornerbacks are out. That was a big problem against the Giants, is that they don't have anyone left in the secondary. So keep an eye on that injury there. I'm probably going to bet the over, because when I was going through this game, I'm like, oh, I want to bet props. Okay, who do you want to bet props on? I want to take CeeDee Lamb over 81.5 receiving yards and over 100 receiving yards. That's plus 140 to go over 100 yards. I want to take George Pickens over 56.5 yards. That seems way too low. His 100 yards, by the way, plus 420. That seems like a pretty nice number. I want to take Adunze over 100 yards. I just kept picking receivers that I want to play over. That means I should probably just play the game over, Patrick, because if you got all these yards, you're going to get points as well. So I agree with you. This is one of the highest totals on the board. If I'm playing fantasy football DFS this weekend, this is one of those games I'm absolutely stacking. I think the Dak Pickens and CeeDee Lamb stack is a very interesting one. I also kind of like Swift here from a receptions perspective. He's sitting at 2.5. He's gotten 5 targets in game 1, 3 targets in game 2, caught 3 passes in both games. Like his over receptions mark here, because this is just going to be a good old-fashioned shootout. So this is a great one for a same-game parlay. This is a great one for DFS. I think this is going to be one of the more fun games of the weekend. If anything, I'm teasing Dallas up to 7.5, but I don't love teasing a game I think is going to go over a 50.5 total.
Yeah, love, don't like the 50.5. It has feelings of Cincinnati and Jacksonville, where that was 49.5 to 50.5. And I wondered about pulling the trigger, and you never sweat it. So Dallas, Chicago, like the over 50.5. Two 2-0 teams, 475. Arizona's at San Francisco. Again, we mentioned at the onset, there are still questions about Purdy. My assumption would be it is Mac Jones. And if it's Jones, 26 of 39, 279, three touchdowns against the Saints. He's very capable. But, you know, a good defense, Arizona, a good defense, San Francisco. I actually think the 46.5 over at Circa is a look to the under. The side is San Francisco 2.5. DraftKings is showing 3 on the 49ers hosting the Cardinals.
Yeah, look, I'm on San Francisco here. I've got to bet at 2 a little bit earlier in the week. I would still play the 2.5 if you're looking for a side here. Arizona has had a cakewalk through the first 2 weeks, okay? They got to play at New Orleans. They played Carolina at home when Carolina lost 2 offensive linemen during the game. They also lost 3 cornerbacks on Sunday, Patrick, and we're not sure if we're going to have any of those cornerbacks back. The entire comeback happened after losing those cornerbacks because they could not play man-to-man coverage. They had to go to zone coverage, and all of a sudden they got absolutely picked apart. If that's the case, if we're still missing these cornerbacks, I think you're going to see a lot of success, specifically for Ricky Pearsall and Juwan Jennings on the outside, to be able to carve up this Arizona secondary. The pass rush isn't that vaunted. You're not going to be at a 40 to 50% pressure rate when you're facing the Arizona Cardinals. And if they don't have the horses in the back end, these are weapons that can take advantage of it. So I like the San Francisco 49ers here. I specifically like their pass offense with the banged up secondary we're seeing from Arizona.
Yeah, I'll go under that 46.5, which is a good number over at Circa. By the way, did you know that the Chiefs' yes to make the postseason is minus 165? So big-time favorites still at 0-2 to make the postseason. I don't think it's crazy to argue two very good teams they played probably feel like they should be 1-1, the Chiefs. And here they come, 477 at the Giants. They're 6. FanDuel's 5.5 on the Chiefs. And 44.5. I would look to the Kelce props as the Giants are disasters defending the tight end. Other than that, 44.5 on the total.
This Chiefs team, man, they still have the Ravens at the Bills, at the Broncos, the Texans, the Chargers, and the Broncos at home again. Oh, and the Commanders too. Not an easy schedule for the Kansas City Chiefs here as they try and pull it out.
So you're saying this is a must win.
Yes, you have to win all your easy games now because you're going to have some tough ones when you go through it here. I haven't bet this game. If it wasn't Sunday night, I probably wouldn't bet this game. I'll probably end up on some type of KC bet here. I don't like this football game at all because I don't know what I'm getting from this Giants team. Steve Spagnuolo is not an idiot. He is not going to allow Russell Wilson to throw for 450 yards over the top like we saw against the Dallas defense. So you're going to see a very different defensive game plan here. That leads for me to believe that this is probably going to be more of an underlook. So let's end up here. And there is a 45.5 available at MGM and South Point right now. Let's take the under 45.5. This
Don't
is a
hate
Kansas
it.
City team that needs long drives to be able to score points. They're not going to be an over-the-top big play. We're expecting Xavier Worthy back. We'll see how much he actually is able to go and how effective he is with the shoulder injury. On the other side, you're going to see the Chiefs specifically limit larger plays from this Giants offense, and they're going to be able to create a little bit more pressure than Dallas did. So I'll take the under 46.5 Sunday Night Football.
Yeah, the side hurts me because if Kansas City, Pacheco's toast, 2.2 yards per carry, the leading rusher is Mahomes. If you can't run against that front four, Mahomes' magic probably ends up winning you this football game. You mentioned the desperation spot with the schedule toughening up, and they played two tough opponents. I would probably look to the under as well. 479, Detroit and Baltimore. Game of the week. If you don't go Rams-Eagles, I would say this one. Now, let's take a second on this because you and I sat here on Sunday and it was 6. And we said, by the time we talk on Thursday, where is it going to be? And we both said, going to be sub 6. It is. 4.5, 5, 5.5, mostly 4.5. A lot of Detroit love. The Ravens laying it. 53 off the 50.5 opener. Expected points on Monday night.
Wild how much this thing has been bet up from a point perspective. especially when you're seeing the side bet down. It means that a lot of people are expecting Detroit points to push this total over. I have a 5.5 in that article I wrote 8 days ago as a look ahead. So I played minus 5.5 for Baltimore, have a little bit worse of the number. I actually think that's about what we're going to kick at. I think you're going to see Baltimore money come back in the market. I like Baltimore at the current 4.5 price.
Me too.
This isn't just a fixed Detroit team, okay? I came on here and I basically dug the grave and threw the Lions in there, and they popped up like the Undertaker in the meme that everybody sees when they were playing Chicago. This is a much bigger test. This defensive line should cause more problems for the offensive line. They can actually cover someone in the secondary. And oh, by the way, Patrick, I don't know if you know this, but Baltimore isn't in Detroit. So you're not playing inside a dome here. We're forcing people to go outside. Jared Goff and his tiny hands be so busy eating crabs, they're going to get all slippery from that Baltimore place, and you're just going to see turnover after turnover here. I like the Baltimore side in this game.
Google Maps, Charm City. Oh, it's not in Michigan.
Not in Michigan.
Hey, it's a good job. Detroit struggled in Baltimore. 4.5 is a gift. I'll lay it. That's not an emotional hedge. I am a Lions fan. The Ravens are averaging 40.5 points a game. And so this total, 53.5, coming off a 52-point explosion from the Lions. I understand people wanting to bet points as far as the over on Monday night standalone, but I'm seeing 53.5s.
Yeah.
The 6 down to 4.5 for me is a fire on the Ravens at 4.5.
If we get to 54.5, I'm probably jumping on the under too. That's my number here. If we end up with it, because there are 54s in the market, there is 53.5s in the market. If we get to 54.5, that's where I'll be going ahead and coming back on the under. You got to remember, this Baltimore team was up 15 on Buffalo in Buffalo before Josh Allen went Superman on them. Do we think Jared Goff is going to do that? I'm sorry, but no, we don't. Let's just be honest here.
The offensive line, which does have issues for the Lions, was not tested against the Bears. You couldn't have found a cleaner pocket for Jared Goff on Sunday with the 52 points. I mean, he had 5 touchdown passes. Both running backs had touchdown runs. First time ever for Detroit. I don't think they unloaded the offensive clip, but this is a much different defense in Baltimore. And that brings us to, can we find the parlay? Let me get money line on the Bills and a McDaniel getting fired after the game parlay. He's going to get let go as soon as this game concludes, that being McDaniel down in Miami. Dead man walking. If you've seen the clips of him at the podium, it's a matter of time. They already have the replacement on the roster picked out for the interim role. Miami heads to Buffalo. Having said all of that, we talked about this one 12.5 on Sunday night here on Sharp Money, and everyone outside of DraftKings is showing 11.5. Your Fins may be getting a little love at 11.5.
Well, we all make mistakes, Patrick. If there weren't literally the NFL is like, hey, you know what? We know it's not going well with Mike McDaniel. We're going to give you a Thursday night game against your rival who is just going to smack you around the field, and then we'll give you the next Sunday off. You can play on Monday night just to give you more time to integrate your new head coach. This is the perfect situation for him to get fired. I feel bad for Mike McDaniel, to be honest. I liked him the first couple of years as a coach. He had his one little, hey, look, we're going to put the receivers in motion. It's going to open up the offense thing. He never had anything else. That was the end of it. Where's the rest of the tricks here? And now he just lost the team. I mean, you hear about people coming up, showing up late to practice. You've got a players-only meeting after week one. You've got booing, excessive booing in the first quarter of your week 2 game at home. This thing's over here. And Miami has struggled specifically with their first quarter offense, which is always a sign to me that the coach is having some issues. The scripted plays should be what is effective. Miami 29th in EPA in the first quarter on offense. They have absolutely been unable to execute what they've been practicing for a full week, the opening drive against whoever they've been playing. And the Patriots, not exactly the best defense in the world, able to shut them down early. Buffalo, on the other hand, an elite offense. They're top 5 in EPA in the first quarter. Give me Buffalo to win the first quarter by 7 or more points. You can get it at plus 160 over at DraftKings. I think that offense gets rolling early. I think the Buffalo team total is a fine look here. I played a little, little Mike needs some action parlay on the under in the Houston game, the Chargers money line, and Buffalo minus 6.5 here. So I've got a little bit of Buffalo at an adjusted number I'm looking forward to cashing. So I think it's Bills or pass here for me. And it's pick your poison on what wide receiver you want to go with. I think you can go with Shakir. I think you can go with Coleman. I think you can go with Kincaid. They're all sitting there between 38 and 43 yards. To me, all three of them have the opportunity to have big games against the Miami secondary that's just a mess right now.
Well, thank you for the assist. Keon Coleman, he's up right now 45.5 over on VSiN. The Guru got him at 41.5, so you might be able to find a better receiving prop for Keon Coleman. The issue last year for the rookie was he wasn't catching targets. Now, this year, what's thrown his way, he's catching, of course, against the Ravens, 11 for 112 against the Jets. They didn't have to throw the ball. The Dolphins are allowing 9.7 yards per attempt through the air. Disaster. I'll go over right now 45.5, Keon Coleman. A couple of things. The Bills have won six straight in the series. This year, they're averaging 32.7 points. Their team total tonight is set at 31.5. I wouldn't be afraid of that. Now, you do worry about parking the bus if you're the Bills, but points shouldn't be an issue for the Bills tonight against that Dolphins D.
So what about, like, what about targeting the first half, Patrick? What if about the first half over or the Bills' first half team total over? Because the idea here is that Buffalo's going to get theirs, and we both believe Buffalo wins by multiple scores. If that's the case, let's say it's 10-14-point win, they're probably taking off the gas like we saw against the Jets last week where it looked like they were going to fly over 31.5, and then they just kind of stop scoring. If I'm playing the over, I'm playing the first half over because you're going to get full effort from Buffalo, full effort from Miami. If I'm playing the team total over, I'd look to the first half. I'm guessing it's a 17 or a 16.5 in the first half.
Well, I'll make it better for you. Buffalo's 15.5 team total first half. We'll go over there.
I like the first half over more than I like the full game over for Buffalo because you're going to get full effort in that first half from Buffalo.
Yep, I like it. 15.5 team total, first half, Bills. I'll co-sign with you. And again, McDaniel probably should be out there. The Bills, you take a look. Save them for survivor, people. That schedule, they're a 14-win team. They'll win 14 games in their sleep. That schedule is so weak.
Well, and the next couple weeks are difficult weeks in survivor as well, both week 4 and week 5. And don't worry, Bills got your back. Home versus the Saints. Sorry, Michael. Home versus the Pats, week 4, week 5. Two blowouts for the Buffalo Bills. So, like, there's other weeks you can be using Buffalo in Survivor, so I would definitely save them this week.
Dallas and the Chicago Bears over the 50.5, I love. I do like the Rams. I liked them better at 4.5. I'll take them at 3.5. And at this point, I'll sell high on Indianapolis with Tennessee. I'll take the points with Tennessee. Those are kind of my big three. I do like the Keon Coleman, 45.5 tonight receiving yards.
Yeah, I've got quite a few props out there and sides. Give me Houston plus the 2 points this weekend, as well as Cincinnati plus the 3. Love both of those sides. I'll take the over 41.5 in Cincinnati, Minnesota as well. I realize we have two backups. This market cratered, and you still have talent all over the field on the wide receiver side. So I'll take the over 41.5 Cincinnati, Minnesota. Lay the 2.5. with the Chargers there. Favorite props for me, Calvin Ridley, over 52.5 receiving yards. This is a completely different defense that Tennessee is facing. I think the Tennessee wide receivers have to be upgraded this week. JSN, over 73.5 receiving yards, my other favorite. Also like Breece Hall, under 60.5 rush yards against the Tampa Bay defense.
And we're running the board here on Sharp Money on a Thursday. Important, take note, where we started, we'll finish the quarterback injuries in week 3. However, Washington hasn't named a starter. It could be Daniels, could be Mariota. And then, of course, San Francisco. There is still, they said, 1 to 5 weeks per Purdy, but Purdy could be limited in practice on a Thursday. So keep that in mind. Outside of that, you got the two quarterbacks, Minnesota and Cincinnati, and then Tyrod Taylor doesn't feel like much of a step back for the Jets. I would say that. Just keep an eye on the injury report.
Yeah, it's a big week, and it's not just quarterbacks. I mean, to me, it's a lot of different positions you got to keep an eye on. You got to keep an eye on the secondary for the Cowboys, the secondary for the Cardinals, the offensive line for the Vikings. There's a lot of these different cluster injury units that we're seeing at a very early time in the season that I think make big differences that people don't make the proper adjustment for, right? When you're Minnesota and you lose one offensive line, it's a half point, it's a point. When you lose the second, it compounds itself. When you lose a third and a fourth, it is a massive adjustment, close to the quarterback level adjustment in some cases. You got to keep an eye on those units that are really banged up and then make the proper adjustments based off of those cluster injuries.
All right. All we ask of you, Sharp Money, like, subscribe, share. It's a pretty easy formula. We'll be back on Sunday night after week 3, the Sunday night game. We hit you with the openers. And then we have a conversation of what we think is going to happen once these numbers bake. Remember as well, VSiN Live, we've got a video page up there as well. So make sure you spread the word. It's quick, it's efficient, it's an easy formula, and it's a plucky podcast. That's Mike Somich. What else on the way out?
Oh, not too bad. I like the plucky. We need to get our own Instagram, our own TikTok, whatever it is.
Oh, yeah.
So that we can get you up here golfing. And we can get that golf swing out there, have little cocktails. I've already picked out the course for us. We're going to play at Glen Annie. We just got to decide what day you're driving your behind up here.
You can say ass. I'll get up there. I'll hand you the credit card. And I cannot wait to start TikTok. Sharp Money. We'll see you on Sunday night.
A little TikTok dance.